Welcome to 2% with Michael Easter. Today is Monday, May 6th, and our episode today is about the giant controversial debate around whether exercise leads to weight loss. This is a fascinating topic. We did a lot of interviews. We dove into a ton of research, and we got a good one that'll give you a good takeaway around this question, which is a hot one in the world of fitness and nutrition. Now, before we dive in, some quick housekeeping. So this episode, like all Monday episodes, is free for all subscribers of 2%. It's free to anyone who stumbles upon it on podcast platforms. Mondays are always free. They always will be. Now, if you want full access to all the 2% posts and all the 2% podcasts that come out on Wednesday and Friday, become a member of 2%. You can do that at TWOPCT.com. Now, one more note. We got a new gear alert. We have a new gear, not stuff alert. We just dropped a limited run of these really rad 2% camo trucker hats. They look awesome. So we made 50 of these only. I stole one for myself. Now we have 49. They are up on the site now. I have linked to those at TWOPCT.com. You go there, you click on shop. That'll take you right there and you will see it in all its camo glory with a rad new 2% patch on it. Okay, now let's dive into the episode. So we have long thought that the calories that you burn from exercise add to the total calories that you burn across a day. So for example, if you burn 500 calories on a run, the thinking has always been that you would burn 500 more calories that day. So hence, the implication is if you just exercise enough, you can burn more calories than you eat, and in turn, you will lose weight. But the relationship between exercise and the number of calories that you burn in a day, and by proxy, whether you're going to lose weight, it turns out it's much more complicated. So there's this newish theory, and it is called the constrained energy hypothesis. And it argues that we don't actually burn more calories a day when we exercise. It effectively works like this. Yes, if you exercise, you will burn some calories from the exercise. But then what happens, and this is quite devious, your body works some internal magic and it ends up burning fewer calories elsewhere. So for example, your metabolism will drop, your spontaneous movement will drop, and this effectively balances the books on your calorie burn. And so the overall effect is that you end up at a net zero and you don't lose weight. So Duke researcher Hermann Pontzer, he popularized this idea. It comes from his work and some studies that he's done. He wrote a book about this idea, and it is called Burn. New research blows the lid off how we really burn calories, lose weight, and stay healthy. That's the book. And on page 103, he sums up the takeaway. He says, and I quote, "The bottom line is that your daily physical activity level has almost no bearing on the number of calories that you burn each day," end quote. So Pontzer argues calorie control is mostly determined by what you eat rather than what you burn from exercise. And so perhaps this is why all those old bodybuilders always said things like, "abs are made in the kitchen," or why runners say, "you can't outrun a bad diet." But is that true? And if it is true, how should that determine how we exercise if our goal is weight loss? That is the question we are dealing with today. So let's dive in. So Pontzer's theory, it came from his work with the Hadza hunter-gatherer tribe in Tanzania. The Hadza and most other hunter-gatherers, they are about 14 times more active than people living in the modern built environment. That is to say, people like us who listen to podcasts. So you would expect these hunter-gatherers to burn far, far more total calories across the day than we do. So what Pontzer did to sort of figure this out is he used the doubly labeled water method to measure exactly how many extra calories the Hadza burn. This doubly labeled water method, it is the most accurate way to track how many calories a person burns across the day. It's a gold standard. But his results, they were a shocker. They were a shocker to him. They were a shocker to the exercise and fitness and nutrition world. Pontzer wrote in Scientific American an article, and I'm quoting him again, "When the analyses came back from the lab, the Hadza looked like everyone else. Hadza men ate and burned about 2,600 calories a day. Hadza women about 1,900 calories a day, the same as adults in the US or Europe. We looked at the data every way imaginable, accounting for effects of body size, fat percentage, age, and sex. No difference. End quote. So other studies comparing the energy burn of highly active people, so for example, traditional farmers in a lot of different countries, they show that those people also burn about the same amount of energy across a day as we do. Now, how could that be? Ponser's theory is that your body compensates and saves calories elsewhere. When you ramp up your exercise, you fidget and pace less, you are more likely to sit, you're more likely to avoid the stairs, and more. And this all happens unconsciously. It's not like you plan this. It happens unconsciously. Now, more importantly, your body reduces many internal activities that burn calories. For example, your immune system dials back inflammation. You may produce fewer hormones, etc. So this all saves energy. This is a brilliant evolutionary trick, is Ponser's idea. So it theoretically helped our ancestors survive times of famine where we had to walk and run long distances to find food. In other words, our bodies won't let us exercise ourselves into starvation. Seems logical. So I have graphs in the post at twopct.com. You can check them out totally free. They will help you visualize this. So these two graphs basically show your body's non-exercise calorie burn and your exercise calorie burn. So graph A, it shows the additive model. That is our old idea that you would keep burning more calories as you exercised more. Now Ponser's idea, again, called the constrained model, it's shown in a different graph. And if you go check out the graphs, you can kind of see what happens. But basically what happens is that in the constrained model, you start to see the non-exercise calorie burn drop off as exercise calorie burn goes up. And so that caps the number of calories that you're going to burn across the day. Ponser wrote a review of the topic, and he wrote, and I'm quoting him again, "The human body adapts dynamically to maintain calorie burn within a narrow physiological range. Rather than increasing with physical activity in a dose-dependent manner, experimental and ecological evidence suggests the hypothesis that daily calorie burn is a relatively constrained product of our evolved physiology." End quote. Okay, which leads to the next question. Do you really not burn more calories if you exercise more? Let's dive into that one. So when you look at the research on this, the studies do indeed show a compensatory effect, this effect that Ponser is writing about. So this basically means that if you were to burn 100 calories from exercise, your body wouldn't actually burn 100 more total calories during the day. But, and this is the big but that sort of pushes back against Ponser's idea, there is still some extra burn. One study found that it nets to about 72% of what you would expect, but the figure varies. Now, this comes from a study that stated, and I'm going to quote it here, "We used the largest data set compiled on adult daily calorie burn and daily calorie burn from metabolism and not from exercise of people living normal lives to find that energy compensation by a typical human averages 28% due to reduced daily non-exercise calorie burn. This suggests that only 72% of the extra calories we burn from additional activity translates into extra calories burned that day. Moreover, the degree of energy compensation varied considerably between people of different body compositions." End quote. Some people in that group, primarily the people with more body fat, and I'm referring to the study that I just quoted from, some people compensated by about 46%. This means that only 54% of their calorie burn actually translated to additional calories burned that day. Now, collectively, what this means in the real world is that if your exercise burned 1,000 calories, your actual increase in daily calorie burn would be 720 to 540 calories based on that study. Now, other randomized controlled trials found that exercisers got only 50 to 66% of the calories they burned from exercise. And I have a graph in the piece, twopct.com, you can check it out, that shows the data from those two trials. Basically shows what you would expect from exercise, the calories you would expect, and what exercise actually burned. Of course, what you would expect is a bigger bar than what the exercise actually burned. So this is all to say, these studies we've just referenced, that more and more evidence shows that the truth is actually somewhere in the middle. So no, the additive model isn't correct. At the same time, the constrained model is also not correct. We're somewhere in the middle. Now, here are a few other figures that push back against the constrained energy hypothesis. I'm going to name off three different studies here and what they found. So one of these studies, it discovered that sedentary people who started training for a half marathon, and the half marathon was about 44 weeks away, they boosted their daily calorie burn by 33%. The average total daily burn of the men, it rose by 669 calories. For the women, it was 430. Another study, the second study, this one took a group of sedentary, overweight, or obese people, and it put them on an exercise plan of 5 45-minute sessions a week for more than a year. In this one, the men increased their total daily burn by 371 calories, and the women got 209. Now, the third study found that people who exercised 5 days a week for 10 months, they burned an extra 289 calories. Now, the important point about these and what we have to note is that in all those studies, the people were not asked to change their diet. Okay, this leads to the next question. So we see that you actually do burn more calories across a day if you exercise. But practically speaking, does exercise help you lose weight and burn fat? Now, the reason we want to ask this question is because calories are abstract. When ordinary people, that is to say, people like you and me, when we talk about calorie burn, we're not talking about, like, we don't care about the number. What we actually care about is weight loss and what it is going to do for our body. Are we going to lose weight? And if we do lose weight, where is that weight going to come from? So the real question that comes up for people is exercise a fat loss tool? Is it useful for energy expenditure / total calorie burn? So that is a quote that is from my friend Lane Norton. I called him up to talk about this question. Now, Lane is a PhD biochemist. He's known for being a top mind in the world of nutrition and exercise. He also founded the Carbon Diet app, which I love. I have zero affiliation with them, but I use it. And so I'm shouting it out because it's awesome and I suggest it. Now, Lane is a fascinating character because he's one, brilliant, but two, he's sort of known on the internet as something of a sheriff around the science and analyzing nutrition and fitness claims. You may have heard of him. He's been on big podcasts like Huberman, Peter Attia, Joe Rogan, all those type of podcasts. So I'm going to quote him here. He said, "There's kind of an extreme viewpoint which says that if you exercise, you're just going to compensate some other way. You're not actually going to burn more calories across a day from that exercise." End quote from Lane. Now, to be completely fair and transparent, Poncer's book, it uses some pretty strong language, but neither Lane nor I had really heard him say publicly anything like exercise won't lead you to burn more calories. So for example, on Dr. Rangan Chatterjee's podcast, Poncer said, and I'm going to quote him here, begin quote, "Even if you're more physically active and are getting more exercise and physical activity every day, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're burning more calories every day than someone who is more sedentary than you," end quote. Now, in the post, if you go to it at twopct.com, you'll notice that I have bolded "doesn't necessarily mean," because that is very different than exercise doesn't burn more calories, right? There's some nuance there. Now, my thought on this is that the discrepancy between the language in Poncer's book and what he says in public, it may be because book editors like bold statements. And I would know that because I've worked with a lot of book editors. Bold statements are basically just better for book marketing. So that could explain sort of that discrepancy between the book and his sort of public statements. But still, I think the important point is that the implication is that exercise won't make you burn more calories and it won't lead to weight loss. Here's Lane again. Lane told me, "If you look at free living research studies on exercise and weight loss, you get some that kind of say yes and some that kind of say no," end quote from Lane. So for example, one study had people exercise for up to 210 minutes a week. They didn't lose a significant amount of weight. They only lost a pound or two, and that's 210 minutes a week. But Lane said, quote, "If you look at tightly controlled, randomized controlled trials, it is a unanimous yes." Lane continued, When scientists actually monitor to make sure people are eating a certain amount of food and doing a certain amount of activity, the people doing the activity absolutely lose more body fat. It is not negotiable. But for exercise to spur weight and fat loss, you have to exercise a lot. So let's quickly examine how the three calorie burn studies that I mentioned a minute ago, let's look at how they changed the participant scale weight and their body composition. The first study found that the participant scale weights didn't really change much, but, and this is important, their bodies did. The men lost about 8 pounds of fat and added 4 pounds of muscle. That is very significant. The women lost 5 pounds of fat and gained 3 pounds of muscle. Again, very important for overall health status. Now, in the second study, the men lost 11 pounds, so they did lose some weight, and 10 of those pounds were from fat. That's important. In that one, and this is kind of interesting, the women didn't lose weight or fat, but they did avoid 6 pounds of weight gain that the control group experienced. So no, they didn't lose fat. No, they didn't lose weight. But at the same time, the group that they were compared to across that, they all gained weight. So they sort of avoided some bad things. They didn't get any new good benefits. They just avoided some bad ones. In the third study, the participants lost roughly 11 pounds total, and most of that was from fat. That's important. Which raises the question, the big end question, and we're going to kind of land the plane here. Should you exercise to lose weight? So exercise and its relationship to weight and fat loss, as you've probably picked up as we've been going through this topic, it's pretty murky. But here's the thing. It's murky because we've set the bar so low for exercise. It takes a lot of exercise to reduce your weight. When people exercise far more than the government recommends, you see total daily calorie burn go up. You see fat and weight loss usually. Now recall that the Hadza are highly physically active. These people get about 2 hours and 15 minutes of moderate physical activity a day. Now that is mostly from brisk walking and from carrying. Now that level of exercise, and it is a lot compared to the government guidelines, they get almost more in a day than the government tells us to get in a week. That is likely the level of exercise that the human body is adapted to. That is how we evolved to move. And in the modern world, we are nowhere near that. The government guidelines, again, for example, are 1/6 of what the Hadza get in a day, and only 20% of people in the modern world are meeting those pretty low guidelines. So not to mention, and this is another thing, is that today in the modern world, it is easier than ever to replace everything you've burned with the delicious food that we are now surrounded by. So Lane put it this way, quote, "I feel like the message around the constrained theory has kind of been misconstrued. I think the message should be, if you think going out and walking a couple miles is going to offset the plate of donuts you just ate, no, it's not going to do that. But is doing exercise beneficial on the whole for body composition, health, and weight loss? I think the answer is unequivocally yes." End quote. So there you go. Now, in our post that is coming out on Wednesday at twopct.com, where we are, of course, going to also blast out a podcast on this, we are going to dive into exactly how you should use this information for any goal, whether it's weight loss, calorie burn, whatever it might be. We're going to get into all the details of like, here are the action points of exactly how you should use this in your life. In the meantime, have fun, don't die, exercise. Michael. As a reminder, we are brought to you by GoRuck, maker of the world's finest rucksacks. As you ramp up your activity, I think that carrying weight is one of the best things that you can do for your body composition. I love everything from GoRuck, but the Rucker 4.0 is great for rucking. I also love their sandbags and their sand medicine balls for doing all kinds of interesting carries. Easter will get you 10% off with them. Next up, Maui Nui Venison, harvester of the world's healthiest meat. And please don't take my word for it. Check out the research that I have linked to in the post at twopct.com. You're going to have to probably change what you're eating if you want to lose weight. And Maui Nui Venison is an awesome, awesome, awesome product for that, to start to eat healthier. Easter gets you 20% off. And then finally, last but not least, Momentous Nutrition, the company that made me feel good about supplements. Again, another good tool for altering your diet. I really, really love their essential plant protein. That is a daily driver for me. Easter gets you 15% off with them. So we will see you on Wednesday. Thanks for listening.